Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Elder Advocate Radio, the show that strives to be an ongoing support to elders and their families as they navigate the senior healthcare continuum. Elder Care Coordinator Anthony Fisher, Elder Law Attorney Brandon Thompson, and their special guests are here to provide the latest information about elder law and aging in place. And now, here is your host, Anthony Fisher.
Strive to give you the best information and content available on the internet and from experts, really striving to make this podcast an ongoing audio resource for you. Style it in a way that is quick hitting, really easy to use lists, and back it up with information that you can access later when you get a chance. But this is an opportunity for you to learn some great things from about elder law, about caregiving, and we have some interesting guests that you will be excited to hear from as well. First of all, let me talk about how to connect to the show. You connect to the show with Facebook, Elder Advocacy Group on Facebook. You can ask questions there, leave questions for us for future shows. If you have comments about the show, you can leave them there as well. We embed the show on Facebook after, immediately after the show goes up. So you can access that and share the link with other folks who you think might benefit from the information you hear today. Also on Facebook, we have a number of video series on there focusing on caregivers, patient safety, many of those things that can help a caregiver around the house and help them take better care and help their elder age in place, which is what we're here all about. My name is Tony Fisher. I'm an elder care coordinator and co-founder of Elder Advocacy Group. Elder Advocacy Group works to help people age in place at their home. And we want to keep folks in the place where they're comfortable, in a way that is dignified for them, and something that helps them protect their ability to get good quality care and receive good care from those around them. So that is, as a host, I hope I can give you some more information and some great benefit for that as we go on. We have two guests tonight. One is our co-host, Brandon Thompson. Brandon Thompson is going to bring us the Elder Law Brief today. And the Elder Law Brief is a segment we're going to do pretty much every show, talking about some of the key elder law issues that you need to hear about today. So let's bring Brandon into the show. Sorry about that, folks. Brandon Thompson, elder law attorney from the Elder Care Firm. He's also VA accredited. And today he's going to talk to us about pension poachers, something really that folks need to avoid. Brandon, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Tony. Glad to be here.
Okay, so pension poachers. These are people who, it pretty much sounds like somebody who's out to look for someone's pension and basically kind of hijack it into something that they don't want. That's kind of what the term sounds like. Is that close to the truth?
Sure. We talked about VA benefits last time. We talked about how there's ways to get qualified for the VA benefits. So basically a pension poacher is, you can tell by the name, it's not usually a good thing. It's particularly financial planners or attorneys, insurance agents, any kind of individual. You could start your own company and call yourself a VA, process helper. And basically these people are seeking out older adults that might already have steady incomes in the form of a pension. Basically they're convincing them to restructure their assets in a potentially catastrophic way just to get them qualified for the VA benefit. So in that type of situation, it's not actually helping the veteran. They might get their stipend every month, but they might be moving amounts of money that don't make financial sense for them, or that they don't have access to, or that might goof up planning down the line if they're ever to need Medicaid or other long-term care help. If they get themselves stuck into a bad annuity or put into a certain type of trust that isn't prepared by an elder law expert or a VA accredited attorney, we have way too many cases that have caused problems for people. And this is the reason, Tony, that the look-back period has been instituted, because, or that's going to be coming down the pike. The reason for that is what Congress calls them is pension poachers. So it's people that are taking advantage of elderly citizens, typically elderly citizens that are VA, and convincing them to make bad financial choices to get qualified for the VA benefit.
Okay. So, you know, we talked, like you said, people can catch our podcast on veterans benefits. That was really helpful, and I encourage folks to access that. One of the things we talked about on that podcast was reorganizing benefits in a way that is beneficial to the veteran, assets. That's a way beneficial to the veteran because there's not a look-back period. So how do pension poachers mess up future applications for Medicaid and stuff in the way they organize assets?
Well, a lot of times, I'll give a couple examples. So a lot of times somebody will figure out that you can move money around to get qualified. And since you don't have to be an attorney to do these type of things, you can move money around in all kinds of ways. I'm not trying to just say that you have to be an attorney to help, but they don't think about what could happen down the line. So a typical example that I've seen would be someone like a 95-year-old veteran buying a 10-year long annuity, right, that pays over 10 years, that basically, you know, that obviously makes no financial sense. And then that 90-year-old a year later needs Medicaid help, and they've tied up all of their assets or a lot of chunk of their assets into these 10-year annuities. And so to get maybe up $1,700 or $2,000 a month, and they might have transferred hundreds of thousands of dollars into the annuity. So stuff like that is, you know, will make me want to pull my hair out sometimes, because I am an advocate for our seniors, and that's the type of stuff I'm talking about. Because I want to make it clear that, you know, making transfers of assets into a trust or your purchase of an annuity itself, it's not unlawful or even bad, but there's a huge difference between a VA-accredited attorney or even a VA-accredited professional, because typically these types of persons are doing fantastic jobs helping seniors get qualified and not putting them in situations that might hurt them or harm them financially down the line just to get a commission off an annuity and to get qualified for the benefit. That's not what the benefit's for. And a lot of times pension poachers aren't looking 2 to 3 steps ahead into the future. They're just looking at the right now. I can get you qualified for benefits. Let's do A, B, or C, and a lot of times that's not what's best for the senior.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, what I always advise folks as an elder care coordinator is to work closely with professionals to develop a long-term plan that kind of, you know, makes you available to access all the benefits that are out there, not just kind of selling out for one particular benefit. And it sounds like what pension poachers do is really just kind of focus on getting the VA benefit and really not worrying about how that's going to, you know, provide income and help in the next 2 months rather than what's going to happen in 3 years from now.
Well, one problem too is they might not be, to be in a VA accredited attorney, you have to meet certain criteria and do certain continuing education and learning things like that. So to stay up on the changing rules, sometimes people that are trying to help other veterans do this don't have any of these requirements, and they're just, you know, they might not even be familiar with the rules. So they're setting people up into these financial situations where if it goes wrong, it's not going to come back on the person that helped them, the pension poacher. It's going to come back on and to hurt the veteran. So people will ask, well, there's hundreds of groups out there. How do I know? Because some groups come up with really nice names like the Veterans Helpers or things like that. So, you know, how do you know? And I would recommend always looking up the professional's qualifications and reputation for veteran issues. Of course, I'm an attorney, so I'm going to say this because I'm biased, but it's always best, I would say, to opt for a VA-accredited attorney because attorneys have their bar license, so they're bound by the bar. And when it comes to moving money around or planning with trust or things like that to go to get qualified or annuities, and these attorneys are, you know, qualified to help guide families through the application process and any other planning strategies. A simple way we can put it online is you can search it up for VA accredited attorneys. It's right on the va.gov website. And at least if you can't give 100% guarantee, but if you're working with a VA qualified professional, you know that they've been vetted by the VA or at least are getting qualifications in for that.
That's great to know. And like I said, mentioned at the open of the show, you know, we always like to give people opportunity to kind of DIY it after listening to the show and be able to check on some of that stuff yourself. Now, you know, pension poachers isn't just a term that you made up, Brandon. It's an industry term, and it's that way for a reason. But, you know, when you spoke about the rules earlier, the VA is actively trying to change the rules to prevent some of this activity, is it not?
Right. And the Congress did, and they couldn't get it passed through, so now the VA is trying to change their interpretation of the regulation. And the problem with this is that what happens a lot of times with our legislators or our people that write our regulations or interpret them is that they use a big giant paint roller for a problem that could be used with an artist brush. I don't know if that was a good example, but they throw the baby out with the bathwater. They're going to end up hurting. Right.
In other words, the changes they're trying to make are too wide-reaching.
Sure. Yeah, so what attorneys would say, the VA attorneys that have protested this law is, or this regulation pass, is what we're saying is why not just keep the rules the way they are, they're good, and go after the poachers. And go after the people that are actually breaking the rules or aren't qualified to do these type of work and put laws in place to prevent that from happening, right? Instead of just saying, okay, I'll look 3-year look back period for everybody. And so, I mean, this could happen. I mean, if someone's in their 70s or 80s, they might be giving large gifts to their grandkids or to their church. And the way this law is going to be looked at, or this regulation is, it's going to be any divestment or any gift. So, with any legislation, it doesn't give good representation because, as I said earlier, making a trust or even an annuity isn't against the law or a bad thing. And if it's done right and correctly, it can actually work out really well for the veteran. For example, at our firm, we'll put together a certain type of VA asset protection trust that does two things. The veteran doesn't lose control over their assets, and it also preserves their money as a pot of resources for them for their care. And if they ever were to need Medicaid down the line, it also helps them in that situation, right? So we're looking two steps ahead and protecting their stuff because our focus is the veteran or the elder person, to not just to sell them something to get them qualified right up front and never see them again. But again, a lot of times when laws are written for a certain purpose, that they help people, and then there's a few people that ruin it for everybody. And a lot of times they throw the baby out with the bathwater. And unfortunately, it's going to be hurting our veterans. It's a great benefit, and it's too bad. So, but it's still not in. The look-back period hasn't started yet. So they're saying maybe summer now, so summer 2016.
So, I mean, I guess a lot of people don't, you know, they look at something like the VA and they say, hey, you know, this is something that has been around for a while, and they don't really think of it as something that, you know, that – rules change all the time, but then, you know, that happens quite often, doesn't it? And that's really one of the reasons why you need to consult a professional sometimes instead of trying to go it on your own.
Right. So that's why with the VA accreditation, at least you know that with that accreditation, that the professional or the attorney is continuing their education in the area of VA law and is qualified to do so through the VA itself. So, I would say if you're going to do any planning that involves moving assets or helping yourself get qualified, you should use a VA accredited attorney. And if you need help just filling out the application, the VA does have free resources to help you do that as well. So, or you can use somebody like yourself to help you do those things.
Yeah. Have someone that you've vetted. At the end of the day, it should be someone that you've vetted and checked into and trust to do that for you. And, you know, at the end of the day as well, you know, the VA does have people that can come out and help you with those types of things as well. It takes a lot longer, but so sometimes, you know, spending a little extra money on, you know, a VA accredited attorney or a professional like yourself really, really helps get the job done. So, Brandon, I really appreciate you, you know, updating people on this really important topic, pension poachers. You can catch the podcast and a blog post Brandon wrote about pension poachers on elderadvocacygroup.info. Tomorrow morning, it'll be up, and the podcast will be connected too. So if you know of anyone that was a victim of this kind of thing, you know, make sure you share that with them. Real quick, Brandon, just 1 minute, and this is one question I wanted to ask you, speaking of victims. If someone feels like they've been a victim of a pension poacher, how do they fix it?
Well, an easy fix would be to go to their local VA office, or if they're not getting anywhere with that, you could also go to your local politician and complain about that, because they are very alert to issues that have to do with veterans, especially veterans that are being harmed, and they usually have, because it makes the politician look like they, and they probably do care, but it's good PR for the politician to say, I'm standing up for the veterans. And lastly, if you have to, you know, go see an attorney, and maybe there's something that that attorney could do for you to get some retribution or money back. I also want to make it clear, too, Tony, I'm saying attorneys because I'm an attorney, but this goes for, there's lots of great professionals out there, like financial planners and insurance people that do right by the veterans, and they are certified by the VA as well. So,
it just doesn't have to be a VA certified attorney. It could be a VA certified financial planner or something of that nature.
Correct. So when I'm calling, when I'm saying pension poachers, I'm saying people that are doing either out of ignorance because they don't know the laws and they think what they're doing is okay and they're not certified, or they're, you know, doing it with malice and they're actually hurting people. But that's why an easy way to separate the two is just go with an accredited person that's been vetted by the VA.
Excellent. Thank you, Brandon. Hey, I'm going to have you stick around, and you can stick around and hear from our guest, Tammy, if that's all right. Can you do that?
Yes, sounds good.
All right, cool. I will put you on hold for just a second because I want to take a moment to thank our sponsors. Of course, our content partner, the Elder Care Firm, which Brandon Thompson is a part of. They make him available to us every week, and I really appreciate their help on that. If you wanted to visit and get more information on the Elder Care Firm, go to www.theeldercarefirm.com. Pretty easy on that. Another one of our sponsors, and someone who's also been a longtime friend of mine, and us, and she's been a longtime friend of the show for the two episodes that we've had so far, is Tammy Newman of Silver Dawn. And Silver Dawn is also a sponsor. Just want to say a few words about them. Silver Dawn presents Dementia Raw, the conference for caregivers and professionals. You will find revolutions in dementia, aging innovations, and wholehearted dialogue. For dates and locations, please visit DementiaRaw.com. And with that, I will bring on our next guest, Tammy Newman. Tammy Newman is a dementia educator. She is also co-founder of Silver Dawn, which is whose mission is to really help folks understand dementia and even going as far as to helping businesses and cities do a better job of understanding dementia. And Tammy's going to be here tonight to talk a little bit about Silver Dawn and Dementia Raw, but also give us some tips on how to better communicate with dementia patients. Hello, Tammy.
Hey there, Tony. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you doing? We're also joined by Brandon Thompson. Just wanted to let you know he's on the line as well.
Hi, Tammy.
Hey there, Brandon. It was some great information that you shared. A little bit of a tongue twister, but really great information.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, Tammy. As a dementia educator and a founder of a company that provides dementia education to professionals and caregivers, can you give us some quick tips on how to effectively communicate with someone who has dementia?
Absolutely. I would really, be happy to do that. One of the things that we teach, we look at dementia in a very interesting way. We look at it through the lens of the concept of improv. So I don't know if anybody has ever watched Whose Line Is It Anyway or been to Second City in Detroit or Chicago. The people that are on the stage, they kind of work together through some very specific rules. And as my son was taking improv over the past year, I realized that these rules really can help all of us really quickly, simply not having to look at a chart or have to pull out, an 800-page book, but can really help us to work with someone with dementia. So one of the very, and I don't know if these are five, I don't know how many I have here, but I'm just going to kind of give a couple of things that you can really think about. So,
okay, great.
Awesome. So the very first thing that you can think about is, it's kind of like the underlying rule when it comes to improv is that you need to make your partner look good. You always think about making your partner look good. So to me, that relates to kind of setting the mindset of the person working with the person with dementia. So I want to consistently think about making the person with dementia look good. So that kind of colors everything that I'm going to do with that person. So if what I'm going to say is not going to like make that person look good or feel good, then it's probably something I should not say.
Okay.
So, kind of moving from there, one of the, I think most people, well, maybe not, but a lot of people know one of the rules, one of the very first rules of improv is called yes and. Have you guys heard of this?
I have. Yeah, yeah, the yes,
yes
and. It's like if somebody were to say, I got my hair done yesterday. If you said no, it blows the whole improv. So,
So, for example, if you're exactly right, what ends up happening is if we say no to whatever's been said, we kind of put up a wall between you and your partner. Say if it's on stage, it's you and your partner. Now your partner has to start going with that scene. If it's with someone with dementia, we've put up a wall or we've, maybe started that process of agitation, starting to agitate that person with dementia, where when we can agree with, be in agreement to what they said, and then just add a little bit more to kind of move that conversation along, that's how we can use that really basic rule of improv when it comes to dementia. Now, the other thing that I like to look for is what we call the gift. It's something that you need to look for in that conversation with someone with dementia because we're kind of giving you a gift depending on what they're saying. Even if it's a statement like, I'm looking for my mom, the gift in that sentence is mom. And maybe it's not that we're talking about, where mom is or where mom is not, or reminding that person that the person's passed away. Using that gift could be talking about mom. That can lead us into some really great, meaningful moments with mom by finding what is the message within that sentence that they're sharing with us. So then one of the kind of the last quick concepts that we can look at is within improv, we really try to avoid a whole stream of questions or those questions where we only get yes or no, or we're asking those quick questions, and that's something else that we need to look at when we're working with someone with dementia is not a lot of fast questions, and sometimes depending on where they're at, sometimes even the simplest questions are very difficult for them to comprehend or even to work through. So we kind of have to look at those things, and hopefully that helps. Those are some really quick tips that some of the listeners may be able to use.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a pretty innovative concept, Tammy, because it really kind of, you know, I think makes it simple enough for anyone to understand how to communicate. And it really, you know, it does a lot to validate the feelings of that dementia patient as well. So, you know, again, like you said, you're not making them upset. You're not being argumentative to them. You're letting them drive the conversation. And at the same time, you're, you know, validating the feelings that they're having, even if there's something that the other person in the improv thinks might be a little goofy. You're leaving that open to interpretation.
Absolutely, and that was when we created this. That was a couple of things came to mind. Oftentimes, we get these books that, you know, you hear about the 36-hour day. You hear about, you know, all these different types of trainings, and they're taught to it. And you, I mean, Tony, you know as well as I do, when you're working with someone with dementia, you don't have the time to go look in the chart. You don't have the time to pull out, you know, this, you know, big, huge book to thumb through it to figure out, oh, my gosh, what am I going to say to Mrs. Smith or what am I going to say to Mom? You have to be quick and nimble and on your toes. And these rules really kind of help the caregiver, whether they're professional or family caregivers, to be able to be quick and nimble in those situations. So, you know, that was one of the key things that we wanted to do. The other thing is that we felt was important is that having a lot of fun with this concept is important as well, because I think when we're having fun in learning concepts, that makes those things stick a little bit better within in our mind as well.
Yeah, that's great. And is this the kind of thing that folks can expect at the Dementia Raw conferences?
Absolutely. So we do this. We also do some innovative sensitivity training with something that's called Pengzu. It's a suit that simulates what it's like to have just to age. It has nothing to do with any cognitive functioning, but all kind of physical. And that's kind of an interesting thing for us to look at. We talk about empathy and really look at trying to teach empathy, because oftentimes it's just not taught or thought about. And often, you know, whether it's a professional caregiver or family, you know, sometimes we get into the mechanics of our day and forget about, you know, caring for someone with empathy as well. Additionally, some of the other things that we share within Dementia Raw, we also really talk about life transition. So, you know, how are we going to transition someone from the driver's seat to the passenger seat, or maybe even the life transition of death? And we do that uniquely by we're having something in March called the Death Dinner, where we're working with professionals and really talking openly about death. And that's something that's a grassroots movement that's happening. We're going to share what we found within that death dinner at our conference as well. And we're very excited to be able to do that, because I think that's something, you know, nobody's having this conversation. And it's very important. And I'm sure, Brandon, you know how important it is for us to have those conversations. And then from those conversations, make the necessary thing put in place, you know, whether it's a DPOA or a power of attorney or, you know, any other legal documents that we have to have. So we have a lot of very different and innovative things at the conference.
Cool.
Excellent. And, you know, it sounds like there's, you have a number of conferences scheduled. Where could folks find information on how to get to those conferences, and how do they sign up?
Absolutely. If you go to dementiaraw.com, you can learn more about what we're providing within the conference itself. We are slowly putting up videos. There's a video up right now on the website that talks about Yes and how we utilize that concept. So we'll be adding more videos over the next few weeks about some of the different things you'll see. Additionally, you'll see some of the dates that we have currently. We've got quite a few in Illinois at the moment. We have one coming up in Madison, Wisconsin. We'll be in Livonia, Michigan. We'll also be in Georgia and Indiana as well. So we're kind of taking the Midwest by storm, I'd like to say.
Excellent.
And then if
it,
you want
really
to register,
it really sounds like a life enriching process for the families. And you know, I encourage folks to get that. I'm sorry, you were probably just going to give out the registration address, right?
Well, you actually right there on the right on the website. There's dates, and next to those dates, there's you can register. So fill out that registration form. The prices vary depending on if you want CEUs or you don't, or if you're a family caregiver. There's a discount if you're a family caregiver. If you're a professional that needs CEUs, the price is a little bit more. Currently, we're covering a lot of CEUs for nursing home administrators, activity professionals, all sorts of nurses, social work, speech pathology, and I think I've covered them all, but we will soon be adding more of those professions on as well.
Excellent. Tammy, I really appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much for sharing those tips. I think they're really innovative and life-enriching. And thanks for sharing the information about Dementia Raw as well.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Oh, yeah, anytime. And we'll hopefully have you come back soon. And, Brandon, I'd like to thank you as well for your lending your legal expertise and stick around to help me co-host tonight. I appreciate that, Brandon being from the Elder Care Firm. And folks, once again, they can connect to the show through Facebook. There's a newsletter sign up on there as well. It's all right on the, as you're looking at your computer screen, if you're listening to this on a podcast that's connected to your computer or laptop, you have links to everything right on there. But you also see links to everything on our Facebook page too. Brandon, thank you very much. And I appreciate your expertise as well.
You're welcome.
All right. Very good.
Glad to be on.
All right, great, folks. Thank you very much for listening to this week's edition of Elder Advocacy Group, the show that strives to be a constant audio resource for our listeners. I hope today's information was helpful. Thank you for listening, and age well.